This is the podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, Texelly and Gunselly. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words the podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow the podcast on Twitter as @thepodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 89.
Hey, this is Gun in the capital of the free world, Washington, D.C.
In this room.
Jack stuck in traffic.
Oh. I'm in D.C., and I'm probably dealing with less traffic than you are. So, pretend I'm in Northwest. Far, far Northwest. On the corner of Van Ness and Massachusetts. Don't you feel fancy just saying Van Ness and Massachusetts? Well, you shouldn't, because you're not here like I am. Anyway,
everything in Massachusetts is fancy except for Boston.
yeah, that's a good point.
Hey,
we're going to get a bunch of angry letters written to us that all drop the R's from every word they're yelling at us.
Hey, you people, just because you think you're on the internet, on the iTunes. That's just something special. Well, let me tell you what, Sully. I knew a Sully once. Actually, I know about 15 Sullys because this is Boston. But, well, I punched him. That's the end of the story. And I'm... You know what? Screw you.
All right.
All right. We're off to a great start. This has been a crazy week. If people have been following the stuff in the Philippines, they might be having a president that, well, I think John Oliver put it best. We'll put a link to John Oliver's rant about Duterte. I can't add anything to what John Oliver said. He did a pretty good job of it.
Give the abridged version of the bit. I have not listened to myself.
Is like Trump, but, you know, if Trump had death squads and made rape jokes. Sorry, not rape jokes. Just told stories about, gosh, I wish I had the chance to rape that woman. Then later when said, why would you say that joke? He goes, I wasn't joking. I was just telling a story. Yeah. If you remember, not the audience, but just the tech. If you remember, we had a conversation about that, and I talked about how my Marine friends had really dark senses of humor, and you know they had a deeper pit of darkness to delve into, which is where your comedy really comes from. So if you're saying a joke and you work in an ER, you might say a darker joke than somebody who, say, works at a pet shop. And somebody at a pet shop might say a darker joke than somebody who works at an ice cream shop. So a guy who has death spots might have a much, much darker sense of humor than, let's say, that person in the ice cream shop that we just mentioned. But all that goes out the window when he says, I wasn't joking. He's just straight up saying, like, no, that was my opinion. My opinion was I wanted to rape her. I was the mayor. I don't know what's confusing about that. If you're all raping and murdering a girl, I should have first dibs. I don't get why people are so confused. So that is that.
Andy bragged about assassinating thieves and killers. I can't remember his exact quote, but here's somebody who actually has to travel to the Philippines. So if we want to say that everything we say bad about him is actually me talking, since our voices are identical, that's okay. It's a little scary because one of his political detractors. He actually filed treason charges against the guy for just being a detractor.
And that's a huge, huge, huge deal. And a lot of people, young people in the Philippines don't understand why that's a big deal. Why that's a big deal is that harkens back to the days of martial law, where if you said, hey, I don't like the way the Marcos family is running stuff, well, guess what? You are a terrorist because you said something. You had an opinion that was different than what the government wanted you to have, so therefore you were thrown in prison. It's the martial law times there were absolutely horrifying. And there was a great video that we posted up on the forum that really highlighted the ignorance of young people in the Philippines and of the human rights violations of the Marcos regime and why martial law wasn't a good thing for everybody. And this is another big deal for America, is when you have the two front runners on either side, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, both have spoken out against people speaking out against them, meaning these are two candidates that are not for freedom of speech. That's a big deal. But we need to really take a look at electing people who say, hey, I'm gonna get rid of the laws that prevents, I don't remember exactly what the law is, but it prevents a public figure from suing people for libel and slander, which is ridiculous. I mean, if somebody who's worth $9 billion and holding the highest office in the land has the right to destroy the lives of somebody who makes $20,000 and speaks out against them, that's terrible, bad thing. That's the good guy picking out the book. If with Hillary Clinton, somebody sitting on a foundation where $20 has the right to sue someone into oblivion for speaking out against her, that's the same thing. That's the exact same thing. It's tyranny. So what people need to realize...
Lawsuits are used like that all the time. A good example is Stephen Novella from Science Based Medicine, a blog that's about helping people by keeping them away from scams, did a rigorous scientific takedown of a guy who was using a epilepsy medicine for an off-label usage, claiming it cured all these cancers, diseases, yada, yada, all these stuff the quacks always claim they cure. Alzheimer's was the major thing they claimed to cure. So it's a epilepsy medicine that they're using for people that as a Alzheimer's cure, and they're charging thousands of dollars per dose. So that's the other gotcha, is it's a off-the-shelf thing. There's another one in Texas. You might have even seen it sometimes on Facebook saying, oh, this girl needs this experimental cancer treatment that's not FDA approved, and it's right now just in testing. Well, it's this one clinic that I'm not going to mention the name of because you and I don't have the legal defense to protect ourselves, but it's this one clinic that uses standard cancer medicine and horse piss, literally horse urine, to treat cancer. And if you say anything bad about them, though, they'll sue you until you are out of money and you are homeless. And there's no proof that their treatments, either of these treatments, work, but they sue like crazy protect their quacks, to protect their very lucrative quack operations.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, and so imagine not just people having to use science to rigorously point something out and then getting sued, but imagine when a politician says something wrong. Let's imagine fact checkers. Like Crack.com does a little comedy show and they do some fact-checking. Let's imagine they do some fact-checking against President Clinton, and she doesn't like that. So she has the IRS audit them and has one of their writers investigated by the FBI, has his computer seized, tries to find anything they can find to incriminate him in his house. That's the sort of tactics that we've already seen used, not just overseas, when it comes to places that are having freedom of speech crackdown, but with the Obama administration has done this stuff. And I'm not talking quack stuff. I'm talking about the IRS versus the Tea Party. That's a huge deal. The lowest handle, that's a huge deal. And that's with all the freedom of speech laws in place. They found loopholes to harass people with different political views than the sitting president. If you have different political, the sitting party in office, you're going to get harassed.
Since our show tries to straddle the middle ground, Chris Christie's crew shut down bridges of people critical of him during rush hour to choke out their commute home. Not exactly as damaging as having the IRS come after you, but as somebody who's currently stuck in a traffic jam, it can definitely inconvenience the heck out of you.
I think that's us more than anything, because we are in traffic respectively all the time. So I think that's why that situation bothers us more. Not that it's equal in scale to the to Obama's and Lois Lerner's and Hillary Clinton's corruption, just that it affects us more directly because we're stuck in traffic. Now, whenever we're stuck in traffic, we're thinking, is this politically motivated? Is it possible?
All right, who did I or somebody else stuck in this traffic piss off? That's the question.
Who was I supposed to vote?
So the email server thing that we've been talking about, interestingly, amazingly, one of the staffers who set up the email server has absolutely none of his emails on the server.
Yeah, well, that was one of the big deals too, because it's she's got friends in high places that are misplacing stuff for her, which this is. Sorry.
Well, what this likely is, are you breaking up or sneezing? I can't tell.
I was coughing, but what's going on here is just old fashioned criminal BS, and that's. I really wish whenever my Democrat friends talk to me, I always wonder, like, are you naive? There's no way you can be this naive. Are you just giggling, going, oh, I just love that she's a criminal and she knows how to get away with stuff? If you said that, I would maybe respect you as an adult. But when you're like, she hasn't done anything wrong whatsoever, you're a child. You're a Sesame Street fan. You know, you're not looking at the situation. Whenever somebody says, hey, there's been a crime that's happened here, we need to investigate, and then you go, and then you destroy a bunch of stuff, and then you hide a bunch of other stuff, and then the FBI has to give people around you immunity to testify using RICO statutes on you. You did something, okay? You did something wrong, and you can't be so naive. You're going to look at that and go, she definitely didn't do anything wrong. Oh, she did everything. She did something super criminal. At least one big super criminal thing we know about so far, which was just the using her own server to conduct all the business of the office of the Secretary of the friggin' state. That's illegal. You can't do that because you would have to do something illegal, like tell your staffers to remove top secret and confidential labels off of emails and then send you the gist, which is illegal because that's top secret. You're not supposed to do that, Heather Mills, doctor. You're not supposed to do that. It's illegal to do that. And Hillary Clinton instructed her people to do that, to break those laws so that she could use her server. The issue is she was using her server for much, much more than that. Much more than that. She was using it to sell influence to people overseas. And as crack.com, a super Hillary-friendly outlet, pointed out, she has changed opinions after having some sort of contact with people overseas, them donating a large amount of money to her family slush fund, and then she changes an opinion on something. That's really bad. That's really corrupt. That's super corrupt. That's why the FBI is using RICO. They're using mafia tactics on her. They're taking down the mafia tactics on her.
As soon as I heard that, here's how that plausibly could occur. You would have somebody who worked for her that set up, and then they said the only email that shows up from that guy is from his personal address. What she literally could have done is done a search on the server for every email that references him and deleted those before she took the server to be wiped.
Yeah. That's probably what it did.
The whole fact that you're taking a server to be wiped, which we've established, it's like, it's not worth, you know, hard drives are $50 on an old server.
But, like with a claw?
It's not worth the... What's that? Yeah. That was the moment right there where I was like, I went from, I don't know if... The whole point, and you and I have harped on this before, I'll say, hey, Gunn, we want the two best candidates to become president, and even if we don't like the candidates, we want them to succeed, because if they fail, the whole country fails. So if Donald Trump becomes president, fine. We have a series of checks and balances that'll keep any crazy thing you want to do. There never will be a wall paid for by Mexico on the border. It's not going to happen. We got a better chance of having a border between Canada and America made. And the Canadians are probably all chipped in a couple of loonies for that. But if Clinton becomes president, I want her to succeed because I don't want the country to fall apart, but it was at that moment with the whole, let me just play this up like I'm a doddering old grandmother, and I don't understand the concept of wiping a server. It just enraged the IT guy in me.
Yeah, so notice at that moment, Tech realized that he didn't have the ability to blow people's heads up with his mind.
Yeah, exactly. I was force choking the heck out of her, and I'm not Darth Vader, sadly.
It's magic.
It's absolutely magic because it shows a complete disrespect for the intelligence of the people who are concerned about it, because there are a lot of people. All of my Bernie supporters that are on Facebook, we're all IT guys. And so they are rah-rah Bernie. They are not, okay, Bernie loses, let's go vote for Hillary. They're like, Hillary loses, I guess I'm sitting this election out. Or I'm sorry, Bernie loses, let's sit this election out.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. I am actively looking in the third party option. I don't know if Furman Supreme is going to be on the ballot in Virginia, but he is definitely the number one go to protest candidate there. If you're not aware of his platform, it used to be a pony for all Americans and death for all Americans. Maybe that order. So he was going to, and then when he got confronted, I thought you said you were going to give us all ponies, and he goes, politicians lie. So he's just the craziest of crazy pants guy.
You forgot to mention he walks around with a fishing boot on his head.
Yes, that is another big point there. His thing now is to enslave the zombies, because when the zombie apocalypse happens, he has a plan to, like, enslave them to turn them into a workforce. So it's a pretty well thought out platform.
Using time travel, it was the key part there. Using time travel.
Hey, he was going to actually go back in time and kill baby Hitler. I do have to say, I always hated that concept. Wherever people bring that up, like, if you could kill Hitler as a baby, would you do it? Like, no, I wouldn't kill a baby. It's a baby. It's a friggin' baby. Like, no religion
or the
like,
concept.
Even that different religion, concept of the age of accountability. You know, like, when you're a man, when you have the ability to understand sin from righteousness, you know, you never kill a baby. Jeb Bush, Vermin Supreme, come on now. At least for like, kill, you know when you could go back in time and kill Hitler? When he was in prison, you know? He was in prison, and he's really working. He's like, you know what I should do? I should write a book. That's when you kill him.
Hey, here's how, if you're talking to somebody that has a good imagination and can follow you, you say, no, I wouldn't go back in time to kill Hitler, because the last time I had a time machine, I went back and killed Mustafa, and that was 18 million lives that I saved, but, you know, every time you kill one, there's another one that just fills in the gap.
That's pretty genius, yeah. Yes, I killed the Grand Sultan, the Grand Sultan of the new Ottoman Empire. But what is that? Oh, see, it didn't happen because I killed him when he was a child.
Exactly.
No, that's pretty brilliant.
I didn't have to kill him. I just went in and popped a balloon right as his parents were getting amorous.
Yeah, you know what's, that would be a way to prevent, yes. One of the things that really is the concept of whenever people are talking about World War II, and they just sort of look at it as Hitler is the number one bad guy, and that's it. And no one about the situation in the climate in Europe at the time, there was a lot of potential cures. There was a lot of potential big bad guys, and not to mention, we ended up making friendly with one of the biggest bad guys out there, which was Stalin. Like, so we, in order to fight a big bad guy, we got in bed with an even bigger bad guy. So there's some really weird angles to look at that war and go, huh, that is not as cut and dry as Wolfenstein may have made it. It was a very
sheer volume of lives. Every nine, and I'm going to get the stats reversed, but every nine Germans that were killed by Russians. And every, I think it's every nine soldiers that died in that war were Russian.
Downplaying
out of 10.
Would like to clarify, I'm not downplaying the Russian sacrifice by talking about what a bad guy Stalin is. I realize the Ruskies were protecting their homeland, and they did a darn good job of it.
Yeah, I mean, my point is a lot of the American stuff, the things I learned in my history books growing up were, hey, remember this war where we kicked some major tukas? Well, yeah, that's very true in France and in the Pacific theater, but in Europe it was Russia, Russia, Russia.
Yeah. So, speaking of going back to the election in the Philippines, one of our allies in the world in World War II on the Pacific front. There, I made it topical again.
There you go. Thank you. Good segue.
Thank you. Well, there are some people who would like to completely ignore the tight relationship that America and the Philippines have had, and just want to go back to that, you know, nice time between 1899 and 1903 when America and the Philippines didn't get along very well. And they really want to get back to that because there's a weird brand of nationalism that, as you can see following the news, just elected kind of a third world country dictator into power. And that's how he got elected is one of the biggest issues that I have. He got elected by normal, decent, smart candidates splitting the vote. So you had candidates that are like, hey, I think issue B is going too far. I think issue B doesn't go too far enough. And the third one's going, well, I think we should look more at issue C. And the other guy is going, you know, I'm going to kill all you when I get president. So, these people are talking about issues and stuff like that, and then the last guy is just making threats and calling people names and stuff like that, and while these people are talking about the issues, they're splitting the vote of people who care about issues. And the guy who is calling people names and saying threats and being crude and insulting the Pope and stuff like that, he wins because he solidified that I'm gonna be dead honest here. He solidified the lower intelligence. He solidified the stupid vote. He was the guy for the flag waving. So in America,
well,
if you're
He also focused heavily on ruling the forest. And the thing I noticed is that the voter turnout in the Philippines is gigantic. Percentage-wise, they're almost 25% more likely to vote per person, per capita, than Americans are. And Americans are pretty apathetic when it comes to that. But it looks like almost 80% of the eligible voters voted in this. And so a minority voted for him, but because of there are so many people running, he had the largest chunk of the minority. He's already flipped on a couple of the more contentious non-killing people things. Which don't ring a lot of bells for Americans, but it's kind of interesting that he is softening up his rhetoric after the election.
Right. Well, that's good because some of his rhetoric was anti-American and pro-Chinese, which the majority of the Philippines was not happy that China has been infringing upon their islands, has been just stealing their islands. And then a minority of people who thought they were just being the most patriotic Filipinos on the planet as they went to the polls and voted for Duterte, voted for a guy who wants to work with China. And, you know, just ask Macau how working with China goes. You're part of China. That's it. That's what being a sovereign country next to China looks like. Okay, so I'm a little frustrated by the irony there. Some of the people that are pro Duterte, like one of my buddies. So if you know anything about me, you know that I have some credentials and I'm married to a Filipino woman, a very smart woman who handles a lot of our technical stuff with the podcast. That being said, one of my friends who thought it made any sense to say this to me while we were discussing Grace Poe dropping out of the race. Grace Poe is a smart Filipino woman married to an American who served in the military here in the Air Force. And I kind of like that because it seems like she might have a similar worldview to me because she's in a similar family situation. So she probably wants to keep the Philippines awesome and doesn't have animosity towards America and would like to see a strong defense for the Philippines against foreign invasion, such as that from China or from terrorism within the country. Very basic concepts like that, which, from what I understood, she didn't have any issues there. She wasn't like saying any pants on head crazy stuff. And this guy, his statement about her to me was, it would be a shame for her to win for the, it would be a disgrace to the warriors of the continued revolution because she's married to an American. Yeah, I know, right? Like, being married to American, I told my wife this. I was like, I'm sorry, honey. I never realized that, all the forcing you up at gunpoint in the morning to salute the flag and say the Pledge of Allegiance and then to put your hand on the Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution every morning at Reveille. I forgot that you don't like that.
Everybody's going to have a morning routine. I'm not going to knock it, Gun.
Well, what's ridiculous, too, is I had debated some other people about this with Grace Poe, where they kept telling me she pledged allegiance to serve another country's government. Like, really? What did she do? Did she serve in the military? No, her husband did. And I'm like, then she didn't do that. Yes, she did. She served. She pledged allegiance to another country. And they kept repeating this weird statement. I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? You know what I did, Tech? I called Mama, which, happy Mother's Day, by the way. I called Mama.
Hold on, pause for 2 seconds. I got to take this. Okay, sorry. I was trying to figure out. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, you were saying you called the mama.
Yeah, I called Mom. I asked her. I said, okay, you were married to not just a serviceman, but an officer in the military. Did you at any point have to take an oath or a vow to uphold the Constitution of the United States? She's like, no. Like, okay, nobody made you hold your right hand up and swear to pledge allegiance to the United States military or anything like that. She's like, no. I was like, all right, I didn't think so. I mean, all my time, man, I had never got married, so I didn't know if now they cattle prod spouses to join in a Mets-style arrangement. But apparently they don't. So I don't know the Filipinos are getting this concept that being married to a United States military guy means that you pledged your allegiance to the country. I don't get it. I don't know where they're getting
it. And I can tell you my personal experience. There's a whole heck of a lot my wife and I disagree on. No matter, just being married to somebody doesn't mean you automatically sign up for everything they believe in or support. I think we talked. Did we talk on the podcast about the Target boycott?
You she didn't even last that long with it.
Yeah, she actually shot the target before I did, and I said I'm not boycotting him in any way, shape, or form. And she ended up shopping at Target 3 days before I needed to anyway, which was absolutely hilarious. So my just not shopping did more to harm Target than her boycott, which I find hilarious.
That's pretty funny. I personally could tell you that I cannot influence my wife into not being Filipino. She is very Filipino. She is always going to like dishes that I not only cannot eat because of my religion, but would not eat because holy crap.
Yes, same here actually. Not religious requirements, but just, you know, I can't stand certain foods, and my wife loves those.
Yeah, it's but we mentioned she mentioned pig's blood stew last night, and I was like, okay, you know, that's
even
not happening.
Even if it was beef blood stew, I don't think I can talk you into eating that.
Yeah, it's still just a lot of blood. I don't get that. All right. Well, that being the issue, I love my wife, but I'd like to all the ridiculous Duterte supporters who are spreading really weird stuff about Grace Poe that just because she's married to an American, it means that she's not a real Filipino. No, I'm not changing that. I'm not making my wife not like the Philippines, not speak Tagalog, and not still crave pig stew. So there you go. I wish I had known about this crazy jingoistic, nationalistic, probably racist paranoia that people had. I wish I had known about this months and months ago. And I may have tossed in more support for the Poe presidency there, but maybe there'll be a few years of dictatorship, and we'll try to help out more in the next election, you know.
Now, interestingly, in America, the same people who are jingoistic, nationalistic, racist are all supporting a president who, where's his wife from again?
Oh yeah, she is she's very foreign. Is it Croatia, or is that the one before?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where they've shuffled dictators recently. She's an impressive woman. She speaks like seven languages, I'll grant you that. We're talking about Melania Trump. But it's just kind of funny that the same people that would be railing against Poe running in America would be all kinds of happy with Trump running.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I don't quite get it. I think maybe there's some there's a few other dynamics, because people like that are dealing with a jingoism and proto-nationalism. This stuff is tied directly to Freudian thought. So there's a Freudian element to that. There's a Freudian concept that's worked in when a man sees a woman married to someone from outside the country, it then becomes an insult to him, Freudian sort of way. You know what I'm saying? For same sort of person, he's Donald Trump married to someone from outside country, he might go, oh yeah, okay, good, I'm glad he's sticking it to somebody from another country, you know, he's
yeah,
which I don't even think
I think Donald Trump's... What was that?
Well, I think we've established many, many times racism is never intelligent.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like... Dang, it's something that, you know, there's natural reasons for it. People will be accustomed to... It, like cows. Cows are racist.
Hey, well, there's been studies that show that babies start out racist. You actually have to program the racism out of your kids.
It's a weird concept, but yeah, it's oh crap, I'm stuck by a semi. Shoot. Oh, thank God. I was stuck beside a semi, which the biggest fear is I hope he sees that I exist.
Yeah, I've seen those wrecks. They are terrifying and deadly.
Hey, this is Tech Sully. We had a little bit of a problem with the audio at the end of the podcast there. I've had to trim out a bunch of the audio on this podcast. So to make it up to you, our listeners, I'm going to have a giveaway. So we're giving away the game Game of Thrones. It's a really good serial game, story-based game, and so the last five digits of the code is 325XT. It's first come, first serve. Whoever gets that code enters the combination of the first part of the code from the blog post that goes along with this podcast and enters this, the last bit of the code, you get the Game of Thrones game. It's a pretty cool game, so let us know if you get the game, who gets the game. Send us a tweet at the podcast or email us. Thanks.
Podcast over. Find us on Facebook/ThePodcast with an E at the end. Call us at 856-677-8559.